Well, that Mozart piece we just heard is from a recording called The Magic of the French Horn. And we'll be hearing some French horn magic. We can hear that Sunday at 4 o'clock at the Classics at the Presby series. That series is finishing up its seventh season on Sunday. That's at the First Presbyterian Church in Mount Pleasant on Watson Road. And that French horn magic will happen with one of my guests in the studio, Mary Beth Orr. Also joining me, Dr. Mark Cox and Mary Jo Cox, both on the CMU School of Music faculty. And they are the instigators of this series. Welcome.
Exactly. Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Welcome, everyone. Dr. Cox and Mary Jo Cox and Mary Beth.
Hello.
Thanks for coming. Mary Beth came in from Grand Rapids from a Grand Rapids Symphony rehearsal. So
yes, I did.
Thanks for thanks for making the trip.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure.
Dr. Cox, tell us a little bit about the Classics at the Presby series.
Well, Classics at the Presby, this is our seventh season. It started when my wife and we were trying to figure out, you know, I'm a tuba player. I was just on here a couple of months ago and played with Midland Symphony, the concerto. So those listeners that listen to it, it's just kind of a continuation of me. Part of it is me getting to actually solo, and my wife, we both are people who love to play our instruments. And we were looking for a way to be able to give more to the community and to be able to perform a little bit more. So we sat down and started brainstorming 8 years ago, I guess, trying to decide what could we do that wasn't being done here in town. And we came up with this concert series. The basic idea behind it is it's light classics that you're going to hear. It's a 4 o'clock concert. It's an hour long. I end up playing a couple three solos. My wife plays a couple three solos. But we thought, you know, to make that sustaining, we need to do more than just the two of us all the time. It gets boring. So we have guests that come in that play around 20, 30 minutes usually for the concert. And it's just over the years has expanded and expanded to the point now that we all the concerts have themes and the years now have themes to go with it. We've had all sorts of great guests in. We've had the Mountain Town Men singers for Valentine's concert once. We had a community-wide Messiah sing-along. We had about 250 people on a terrible snowy day.
Oh,
everyone
nice.
Still made it to it. And we've had Broken Glass Hammer Dulcimer Band play. And we've had the harp professor from U of M, Flint. We've had the bassoon professor from Michigan State. So we get guests from all over the place.
And a real variety of music.
We do. And we have sing-alongs at times with it. We have food that matches their finger foods that match the theme, so that when you come in, you grab some food. And over time, Starbucks actually now donates one of their big green containers of coffee to it every time. So you get coffee. So you come in, grab your food, grab your drink, come sit down, and it's just this light, relaxed concert where we talk to the audience. Sometimes we get questions from the audience. When we had like the harpist, she explained how the harp worked. And it's just this kind of a fun afternoon concert. So we have four concerts a year, and this one coming up Sunday is our fourth of this season.
Is there an admission charge?
There's no admission charge. It's free. And we funded this ourselves, Mark and I. But over time, we've had great support from individuals, so it's all sponsored concerts by individuals.
We do a lot at the Presby, and it's a great kind of a concert hall space. So a lot of the School of Music will, student recitals happen over there and other concerts. There's almost $1 million organ in there. There's grand piano in the sanctuary, so it's a kind of a nice performance hall. And so the Presby very nicely said, yeah, you can go ahead and use the church for this. And so they again donated the space for us to be able to have these concerts. And so we and between the two of us, we run just about most everything, advertising programs, posters, you name it, we're doing it. But it's a labor of love for us. The two of us, everything we do is donated just because we enjoy playing. We enjoy giving back to the community. We enjoy watching everyone smile as they hear a jazz pianist playing or a tuba euphonium quartet playing. We've had that before. My colleagues from the other universities came up here and we played quartets together. And Mary's voice sounds wonderful on piano, both on solo, and then she backs everybody up that needs to have a collaborative artist with them.
Mary Jo, how do you plan the series for the year? How do you decide who comes to play?
Well, we usually right about this time of year sit down and start thinking about kind of what the theme might be for the for the season. And
this year's theme is music from around the world.
Right. So each concert this year has focused on a different area of the world. We've used CMU professors, of course, because we have that connection. But we also have
a vast network of friends
around
the country.
The world. So next year, for example, we have a Broadway singer who's coming from the Philadelphia area. So that's our first person we have in place. And now we're sort of just thinking about how what else will fit in with that whole series. But.
Well, Sunday is the final concert of this season. And as we said, Mary Beth Orr, horn player. I have to move my microphone here just a second. There we go, so I can see you. I'm in one studio, and Dr. Cox and Mary Jo and Mary Beth are in another studio, so we're all trying to see each other here. So you're a horn player, and I went to your website, and I was so blown away, because usually as a horn player, right. you know, you're wearing black in the back row of the orchestra,
oh, yes.
sitting there, you know, with your music stand in front of you.
Yes.
And on your website, there you are in this beautiful flowing dress.
Thank you.
No music stand, standing up, playing the horn. And I thought, oh, wow, this is really great. You have such a big, beautiful sound.
Thank you.
You put the horn to your side and you start to sing. And then I went, wow, this is just amazing. But your premise is that folk music and classical music are not that far apart. Can you tell us about French horn folk tunes?
Yes, absolutely. A little bit about my background. I'm actually a transplant to Michigan. I'm originally from Charleston, South Carolina, Goose Creek specifically. And most of my heritage is Celtic, and they migrated into the Appalachian Trail, the mm-hmm. Blue Ridge Mountains, and both my mother and father's side of the family. And I had always had that mountain music influence. And as anybody knows that has relatives, you know, I had plenty of, you know, time snapping beans on my granny's porch and listening to her. Truthfully, she couldn't carry a tune. So some of these folk songs, when I came back to them, I had to kind of figure out what the key was, what the melody was.
Reconstruct them a little bit.
Right, but she had the inflection, and, you know, I grew up listening to that and then found classical music, and that becomes such, I think anybody that's a classical musician can tell you, that becomes such a very intense, singular focus that you really dedicate to. And as I was doing a master's at MSU, I was trying to figure out, what is it that I actually want to say? Because you're right, I sit in, you know, back of the orchestra, which I love, you know, part of a robust brass section, and we have an amazing conductor right now, so I draw so much inspiration from that, but you don't always get to express yourself as fully as you want. And, you know, looking at my life and what I was inspired by, there was nothing more inspirational than classical music and folk. And there are three main themes to both genres: love, death, and nature.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the three things that every song is about. And what more tells, you know, exemplifies the journey of that human spirit that connects all of us, regardless of what kind of clothing you want to wear when you go to church or when you go to a concert, or, you know, the type of music you want to listen to. You know, what we come up with all these ways as human beings that we try to define ourselves by separating each other. And it became I realized what I wanted to say and what I wanted my voice to be and why I use my voice, not just as a horn player, but as a vocalist, to bring people together that wouldn't normally think those things would fit, and to look at each other maybe a different way through the musical experience.
Yes, and it's so true. And also just the horn, like the timbre of the horn,
correct,
fits
yes.
so well with the music and expressing what you have to say.
Oh, thank you very much.
Let's listen to a little bit, little of what you do. Can you tell us about what's queued up here?
Yes, this is a horn alone piece, so you won't hear any piano accompaniment with it. And it's by Lydia, also a horn player. And when I found this piece, it was so haunting and beautiful. I said, this is a done deal for me. I have to do this. And I used, what you'll hear at the end is me singing a cappella, Wayfaring Stranger, as it will ultimately, that I'll be doing on Sunday, segue into Songs of the Wayfarer by Gustav Mahler, which is a quintessentially
nice.
Classical,
mm-hmm.
classical piece. And this is a live performance that I did that was recorded by MSU during my master's down there.
Okay, so let's hear a little bit of Mary Beth Orr and Wayfaring Stranger. Horn player and singer Mary Beth Orr. Wow, Mary Beth. That was wow. Mary Beth is joining us in the studio along with Dr. Mark Cox and Mary Jo Cox from the CMU School of Music faculty. Today we're talking about the Classics at the Presby series, the final concert of that series coming up at 4 o'clock this Sunday. It's a free concert. Everyone is welcome. And they can hear Mary Beth sing and play the horn and so much more. Wow. How do you find your material?
The vocal selections are actually pretty easy because I come from a, you know, Southern Baptist heritage. Mm-hmm. And again, both my mother and father's side of the family are, it's all mountain heritage. So it's about just kind of channeling back to my memory, and actually an amazing influence and an incredible artist that I think I didn't value enough when I was younger is Dolly Parton. And she did an amazing, I remember hearing Silver Dagger that she did an arrangement of on a much later album. I think it was kind of early 2000s. I listened to it and it triggered something in me.
Now, she's a terrific songwriter.
Incredible. And the way she treats, her treatment of these really Celtic and Appalachian songs is so pure and really honest. And I think honest storytelling is how I think is probably the first and most important approach to any of my programming. Everything that you'll hear on Sunday is telling some sort of story. And so I feel like I haven't done my job if my audience doesn't leave feeling either like they've been healed in some way, or they've changed their opinion about something in some way, or that just really truly deeply feeling in a way that maybe they couldn't have gotten someplace else.
Mary Beth, folks that see and hear your program may say, wow, this is really different, because it kind of is, especially as a horn player and
right,
a singer,
right.
But it really makes sense. Do you know of a lot of other musicians who are doing this kind of thing?
I have not yet found that, which I'm happy about in some ways, mm-hmm. because it shows that my voice is one that has more value. It has value in what we're talking about. There is a great trio that is the violin, like two violins and a bass. I believe it's called Time for Three. I performed with them actually a couple of times, and they tend to do a bit of a fusion that I think is sometimes easier with string instruments of Appalachian and kind of folk and jazz, mixing that, fusing that with classical. And but I don't think there really has been a horn player. Other than horn, there are quite Adam Unsworth, an amazing jazz hornist. Mm-hmm. He's currently the faculty at U of M. But vocalists, my inspirations come from anyone that touches me. You'll hear songs on this program from Tony Desserre, who, again, I think there's a common thread. I usually perform with these people in Grand Rapids. So Tony Desserre is an incredible jazz pianist and wrote this beautiful love song called How I Will Say I Love You, which, I mean, that fits the category, right? It's about love. And also Storm Large, who is this very vibrant vocalist with just golden pipes, as far as I'm concerned. And I performed with her a couple of times, and she can do more classical music theater, rock. It doesn't matter what it is. And she wrote a gorgeous love set. I was like, from the second I heard it, it brought me to tears during the show. And I said, well, that's something I have to find a way to do.
Nice. Mary Beth Orr, a horn player who also sings, and a singer who's a horn player. But, you know, it didn't surprise me when I, you know, looked at your website, because you're a horn player and you sing. I mean, it sort of goes hand in hand. I mean, you have a good ear, you're classically trained, but such big, beautiful sound on both instruments.
Oh,
so,
thank you.
And thank you for what you're doing. Dr. Cox and Mary Jo Cox, tell us one more time about Classics at the Presby and a little bit why should we come out for Sunday at 4 o'clock? You know, we leave the comfort of our homes and turn off our Netflix. And why is it important to come out and see a live performance?
I think there is something magical that happens in live performance. I mean, I have many recordings that I love, but there is something different in creating music in a live setting.
And with our concert, it's such an interactive concert with the performer. It's not just a person standing up and performing. Like I said, they often will take questions from the audience. They, Mary Beth was hoping that they would actually sing along with some of the stuff she's doing.
Yes,
so,
absolutely.
Yeah, it's just the one thing we always get is we hear from people, oh, why did you have to have it this Sunday at 4? I've got a concert. There's always something going on against it. But if you're free, come hear this one because, like I said, it's music that is accessible. It's music that is entertaining. The whole thing is just meant to be just a fun-filled afternoon. We've had kids coming to these concerts, too. Again, where it's not where you have to be quiet. You can get up and get coffee in the middle of a performance while it's going on. It's just meant to be a very laid-back.
And you will be a part of the performance when you're there.
Absolutely.
More than just kind of sitting back and observing.
Classics at the Presby, 4 o'clock Sunday, May 5th, at the Presbyterian Church in Mount Pleasant on Watson Road.
1250 Watson Road, correct.
Free concert. Mary Beth Orr is the featured performer. It's going to be a nice afternoon. And like my recording says, the magic of the French horn. Mary Beth, I have a CD, and I wanted to play this just for you and for all of our listeners, because this one gives me goosebumps. Speaking of classical and folk music mixed together, we have pianist Dave Grusin, guitarist Lee Rittenour, and soprano Renee Fleming. The piece is called River Songs, and she combines The Water is Wide and Shenandoah. I think you're going to love it.